World Today. News on all fronts from London, from Berlin, from Belgrade, from Washington. And tonight, reports from Rome take the line that the Italian government has given up all hope of a peaceful settlement of the Yugoslavian situation. Italian newspapers report that the situation is worse, that the new Simovic government has failed to satisfy Axis leaders. The United Press correspondent in Istanbul says thousands of troops from the classes of 1910 and 1911 have been rushed to bolster the Turkish army now drawn up near the Bulgarian and Greek frontiers. British experts in Istanbul are reported to have laid plans for mechanized warfare. Extensive anti-aircraft exercises have been ordered for the Istanbul area during the next 2 weeks under the direction of British anti-aircraft experts. Budapest reports that Yugoslavia has closed her frontier with Hungary. The Hungarian press says that large units of mechanized Yugoslav units are lined along the border. You'll hear more about this situation later when Columbia's correspondents bring you reports direct from Europe on these happenings. And here in our own country, in New York, John Phillips, the CIO leader, said there will be strikes all down the line until workers get their share of defense profits. The federal mediator says efforts to mediate the Ford strike at the River Rouge plant are looking somewhat better. And now for the news direct. First to the British capital, Larry Lesser reporting. Go ahead, London.
Good evening, this is London. There are bombers over Britain tonight. The sirens have sounded in London, but we heard no gunfire here. But forces of German bombers are reported over the west of England again tonight. The average Britisher is talking about the situation at Benghazi. Rumors in military circles here indicate that the German force is much larger than was expected. Some reports put the size of the German army there at one whole mechanized division and parts of two others, comprising perhaps two fully mechanized divisions in all. The British communique from Cairo tonight says that the concentration of defense elements there is continuing. In Abyssinia and Eritrea, the British report more success. They have already taken more than 3,000 prisoners at Asmara, and more are said to be coming in during the rapid advance towards the Red Sea port of Massawa. So far as we know, there has been no reply from the Italian commander-in-chief regarding the British demand that he surrender. It's said that a British officer carried a white flag into the city today in order to talk peace. He's reported to have pointed out to the Italian authorities that the British must have the port in order to feed the Italian civil population of Asmara, the Eritrean capital. British patrols pushing on toward the city report that the road is blocked, apparently to give the Italians time to destroy the harbor works and scuttle ships in the port. The Admiralty says in a communique that two Italian destroyers have been scuttled by their crews off the coast of Saudi Arabia, while the destroyer left in a sinking condition yesterday has now been sunk. This brings the total of Italian destroyers sunk in the Red Sea in the last few days to 5. A number of survivors from these destroyers have been rescued. In Abyssinia, the British report that they have reached the River Awash, about 100 miles east of Addis Ababa. In London, the British say they are concerned about the situation in Abyssinia in regard to the danger to Italian civilians from mutinous native Italian troops. It's claimed that there have been widespread desertions among these troops recently. And we are told that as the British advance toward Addis Ababa, the restlessness of the natives in that city increases with the prospect of widespread disorder. The city is said to be filling up with Italian white settlers who have become refugees from the British advance. The Germans carried out very little air activity over this island in daylight today. They dropped no bombs, but their reconnaissance machines were reported to have machine gun places in northeast Scotland and England, causing slight damage to houses and wounding one person. The Royal Air Force, however, carried out another of its heavily escorted bomber patrols over northern France and Belgium. Their targets were airfields and planes on the ground. One British plane failed to return. The radio war reached a new high today. The Vichy French government has instructed French radio stations to jam all British broadcasts. And it's noticeable in London that newspaper comment here has entered on a new phase of bitterness toward the Vichy government and all its members, with one exception, Marshal Petain. Britain took its first wartime action today against strikers. 6 of the 7,000 engineering apprentices on strike in industrial Manchester were summoned before a court today. They were accused of taking part in a strike in connection with a trade dispute not reported to the Minister of Labor. This is contrary to the National Arbitration Order made under the regulations for defense of the realm. The magistrate said, "We are engaged in a war of life and death. It seems to me that any delay is to be deprecated and that people should be kept busy at this time." He then acceded to a request for adjournment in each of the six cases. The arrested apprentices said that the local Ministry of Labor officials had threatened that those who remained on strike would be called up for military service. London headquarters of the Ministry of Labor said they knew nothing about any such threat. It was learned in London today that there has been a modified coup d'etat in Iraq. It was led by Rashid Ali, the former premier, who has made no secret of his strong pro-Axis sympathies. Germany, you know, has been working for a long time to repair unrest in Baghdad. I return you now to CBS in New York.
That was London. Now to the German capital and Harry Flannery. Go ahead, Berlin.
This is Berlin. The fall of Benghazi is the subject of the main headlines in the German newspapers for tomorrow morning, and the theme of many comments in the German radio tonight. As it happens, the German High Command has so far made no claim on the capture of the North African port. The communique merely says that Agadabi has been taken and the German and Italian motorized units have moved past Zutina to Chemeniz, south of Benghazi. The High Command of the British Army of the Nile has quoted on the British abandonment of the former Italian stronghold. Meanwhile, there are reports here that British forces are being withdrawn from the whole of Libya and sent through Greece to the Yugoslavian frontier, and that strong contingents of Australian and New Zealand troops have arrived in Cairo to replace them. Heavy tank units are reported among the motorized divisions of British troops in the Balkan fronts. A large British transport off Crete has been reported so heavily damaged by bombers that, according to the High Command, it can be considered lost. The Yugoslavian situation tonight continues nervous, despite the fact that Dr. Macek, the Croat peasant leader, has accepted his cabinet post. And Das Reich, semi-official weekly, claims tonight that the Hotel Bristol, where the Croatian ministers were living, was surrounded by military, and they were forced to promise to take part in the new government. One feels certain, says Das Reich, that General Dusan Silovic, the Yugoslavian head of the government, is not his own master and cannot make his own decisions. Mark Doskovi says the situation in Yugoslavia grows worse each day. And German refugees reaching Romania say that only military trains are now running in Yugoslavia, that English and Greek officers are understood to have arrived in the southern part of the country to aid in the military preparations. As reported tonight from Romanian officials, that the German mayor of the district of Partani was murdered by Serbians. Appointment of Bardossi as the new minister president of neighboring Hungary appears to meet with German approval, as the papers say the new government will continue the Teleki policies. Pastor Lloyd is quoted as saying that Bertossi is the right man to carry on with those who are fighting for the new order in Europe. Prominence is also given to the statement that almost 100,000 tons of British shipping was reported today to have been sunk, with almost 200,000 tons said to have been sunk in the first 3 days of April. In addition, it's said that 99,000 tons are so badly damaged they will be out of service for several months. Berlin today was again host to Japanese Foreign Minister Yosuke Matsuoka, who arrived at the Anhalter Bahnhof this afternoon from Rome and rode up the east-west axis to the Bellevue Castle. Only scattered groups stood behind the lines of police and soldiers this time to welcome Matsuoka. He was received this afternoon by Adolf Hitler, a German foreign minister Joachim von Ribbentrop present. He's expected to continue on his journey home Sunday. This is Harry W. Flannery returning you to Columbia in New York.
Swinging over to the Balkans now, we will attempt to bring you the report of Lee White from the Yugoslav capital. Go ahead, Belgrade.
This is Belgrade. Train service was all but suspended tonight, and it appears that the Hungarian and Italian frontiers were closed. When I asked at the station if there would be any more trains to Budapest, the answer was no. So was trains to Trieste. While all but one or two German legation officials were evacuated from Yugoslavia last night, a skeleton staff still remained at the Italian legation. Even so, they took the precaution of moving inside the legation, where they will confine themselves 24 hours a day. If war should break out tomorrow, the Italians would have no choice but to remain in Belgrade, unless a special legation train should be arranged to take them home. For there is no longer any way to get back to Italy. While the whole world concentrated its worried attention on Yugoslavia tonight, the Yugoslavs themselves went on about their business as calmly as if peace, instead of war, were just around the corner. Except for the passage through the city of large numbers of troops bound for the frontiers, there was no sign of war preparations. Though further blackouts occurred tonight, no effort was made to pile up sandbags in front of buildings or dig emergency air raid trenches. This may be because the Yugoslavs are confident that the declaration that Belgrade is an open city will be respected in the event of war, or it may be that they are so well adjusted psychologically to the specter of war that they feel it is unseemly to take precautions which would probably be futile anyhow. In Yugoslavia, alone among all the remaining countries of Europe except Greece, it is considered the normal thing for a man to be willing to lay down his life without a murmur to defend his country. So general is this fatalistic recognition of the necessity of dying in order to defend the right to live that the troops which passed through the city tonight were greeted with friendly glances rather than wildly cheered. This signified no lack of enthusiasm, but rather the belief that it is everyone's duty to fight. As one Serb told me before he went into the army yesterday, by tomorrow you'll see what I mean. Our men will be ashamed not to be in uniform and ready to go to the front. I now see what he means. There are no more able-bodied men left in Belgrade in civilian clothes, except for a few indispensable technicians. But at the same time, there's been no weeping on the part of their families, nor cheering either. For here, the age of heroism still lives. It is natural, rather than unnatural, to be ready to die in order to defend one's right to live as an independent human being. Before closing, I should like to add that a cabinet meeting took place this evening following the induction into the office of Vice Premier this morning of the leader of the Croats, Vlatko Macek. It is understood that the meeting was called to clear up the final point regarding fuller cooperation of the Croats in the government, as demanded by Mr. Macek. His other condition for accepting the post as Vice Premier, I'm told, has already been fulfilled. An advisory council will be established to guide the young King Peter. Instead of being composed of one Serb, one Croat, and one Slovene, however, as Mr. Macek suggested, I understand that it will be made up of five members. This is Lee White reporting from Belgrade. I now return you to Columbia in New York.
And now for the news from Albert Warner, we take you to Washington.
An unusually long session of the cabinet has just broken up with every indication that its subject is the industrial strife in the United States. The last to leave were Labor Secretary Perkins and War Secretary Stimson. Both sides in the protracted strike at the Alice Chalmers plant are on their way here for conference with the mediation board tomorrow. Emphatically at his press conference, the president called this the one really serious stoppage of defense work. He said something had got to be done about it soon. The Senate, you know, extended the bituminous coal commission for 2 years in the hope that this assurance of federal control of prices would make it easier for an agreement in that strike-bound industry. But despite all this talk of strikes, airplane production last month was the best yet by a substantial margin. The OPM announces that 1,074 military planes were produced in March. That compares with a figure of under 1,000 in February and a few over 1,000 in January. The State Department has made representations to Berlin over the arrest of Stuart Hermann, an American embassy employee there. But the Germans have released Hermann and other Americans arrested in the so-called reprisal action for the seizure here of Axis vessels. The president told today of allocating $1.5 billion to build 212 ships and to produce other supplies for Britain. And that's the situation in Washington.
And that's the world today. This is the Columbia Broadcasting System.